السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عامر هاوي،
الحمد لله.
عايز أوك
الحمد لله.
عن رمضان.
الحمد لله.
Can we go with the class?
نعم يا سلام.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah Abu Abdullah, we are on Babu Sakhawatin Nafs. Babu Sakhawatin Nafs, the chapter about benevolence, the chapter about free-heartedness, the chapter regarding free-heartedness, that a person is high-minded, noble-minded. He can give up things easily for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his pleasure. He can overlook the faults of people easily. He can give up easily. He can give up easily, whether something that is material or something that is not material, such as overlooking the faults of people, not being aggressive against them, being open-handed. And all of that is from the aspects of having sakhawatun nafs, being free-hearted, being great-hearted, being noble-minded as an individual. And from that is the first hadith we read under that chapter, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa al-ghina an kathrati al-arad." Wealth is not about having a lot of worldly possessions. We'd explain that al-arad refers to mata'u dunya, those from the things of this dunya by which we seek comfort or even luxury. So the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Laysa al-ghina an kathrati al-arad." Being wealthy is not about having a lot of possessions. Walakin al-ghina ghina an-nafs. When he said alayhi salatu wasalam, but the actual richness is ghina an-nafs, to have the mind of a give up. That is to be free-hearted in the sense that you make what you have satisfactory for you, to have a self-satisfying mind, a mind that is pleased with whatever it has and suffices with it. This free-mindedness, this high-mindedness, this free-heartedness is what the Arabs refer to as sakhawatun nafs. From that also was what was mentioned in the hadith that followed, where Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu gave us a background of his having spent 10 years in the house of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, running the errands of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam for 10 years. Anas said radiallahu anhu, "Khadamtu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam 10 sinin." I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for 10 years. For 10 years he was in the servitude, he was in service, providing help, running errands, bring this, bring that, and so on for the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. And I said, "Fama qala li uffin qattu." He never said to me, "Go away, get out." He never employed any negative expression towards me for 10 years. Like we had read in the report of the dealings of a Muslim with their subordinates, that this is going to tell us that the Muslim should not be the one who is very harsh in his dealings with those who are under him, beginning from his wife, from his children, from his workers, and all other domestic staff that we may have. We should not be the Muslim who is harsh towards them. A little young boy, Anas, was just about 9 to 10 years old when the Prophet came to Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was running his errands, picking his needs, going to deliver his messages for a period of 10 years. He served the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam 10 sinin. I served the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam for 10 years. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطُ. He was never aggressive. He never made a statement of rejection. He never berated me. Not for once. He never said, وَمَا قَالَ لِي لِشَيْءٍ لَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ أَلَا كُنْتَ فَعَلْتَهُ. He never said to me regarding something I had not done, why did you, shouldn't you have done this? Shouldn't you, ala kunta fa'altahu, shouldn't you have done this? Wala li shay'in fa'altuhu lima fa'altahu. He never also berated me regarding something I did. Why did you do this? The ulama explained that these are issues on the matters of manners, how to handle something, and so on. That what the Prophet was upon was to guide the boy, do this, do it like this, do like this, do like this, advise him. And when he heard the kind of error that would find young people of his age erring when they go for errands like this, he overlooked it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He overlooked it. He did not want to talk to the boy, alayhi salatu wasalam. He would not talk to him. He would not berate him over every little matter. This is the point of reference. Having to be too emphatic about our cautioning children. Sometimes it goes in the negative when we become too critical about every detail regarding their affairs. We become so critical of them. Sometimes they even begin to say, is there anything that I will do that I will not err? So let us be balanced in these affairs. It is from the aspect of sakhawatun nafs, being noble-minded and great-minded. That took us to another hadith in the last class, the hadith of the man who came to the masjid when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was about to start salah after the iqamah. Before telling us that story, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu had said to us that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was what? Rahim. It says, كان النبي sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam rahima. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was such a very, very compassionate person, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is a clear-cut mention by someone who had lived with the Prophet for 10 years. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also got this statement of praise from his Lord Allah in the Quran, in the last verse of Surah At-Tawbah, when Allah says, bil mu'minina ra'ufu rahim. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam, whatever brought discomfort to the Muslim was disturbing for him. If the Muslims had any kind or any sort of a discomfort, any hurt, any inconvenience, it was something that was hard on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This goes to make us understand the sakhawatun nafs of the Messenger and his empathy. He felt the pains of his companions radiallahu anhum. Allah said so in the Quran. And in the end of that portion of the Quran, Allah referred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam as Ra'ufur Rahim. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was a very, very compassionate person. And he was Rahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was very, very merciful. And by way of giving us an example of an incident that will show the great compassion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas ibn Malik said to us that وَكَانَ لَا يَعْتِيهِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَعْدَهُ. Anyone who came to the messenger, لَا يَعْتِيهِ أَحَدٌ. No one would come to the messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام to seek help, to seek support, to seek aid, إِلَّا وَعْدَهُ, except that he gave him a promise, meaning that he gave him a statement that will make him be hopeful of achieving or fulfilling his need. Don't worry, inshallah, tomorrow. Inshallah, we'll look at it. Inshallah, we'll do this. And this was what Allah has commanded us. He says, فَكُلَّهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا in Suratul Isra. When anybody came to you for a need, say to him, قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Say a nice, easy word to him. Don't let a man come to you for a trouble. Don't let a man come to you over a difficulty, and he is going to return away from you with more difficulty because of bad speech, bad statements, and negative expressions from you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, your leader and your Allah's messenger to you, كَانَ لَا يَأْتِيهِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَعَدَهُ. No one would come seeking a need from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, إِلَّا وَعَدَهُ, except that he gave him a statement of hope. وَأَنْجَزَ لَهُ إِنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ. And if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had the request on the spot, أَنْجَزَ لَهُ, he gave it to him on the spot. So he gave an example, radiallahu anhu, that وَأُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, one day the salah was established, the iqama was established. وَجَاءَهُ أَعْرَبِيٌ فَأَخَذَ بِثَوْبِهِ فَقَالَ. A Bedouin came, an Arabi came, فَأَخَذَ بِثَوْبِهِ فَقَالَ, he grabbed the clothes of the messenger after the iqama, before commencing salah. That would have meant that the companions were already standing, waiting to commence salah with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's Bedouin, أَخَذَ بِثَوْبِهِ فَقَالَ, he grabbed the messenger's cloth alayhi salatu wasalam and said, إِنَّمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ حَاجَتِي يَسِيرَةٌ. Ah, O Muhammad, it's only a little thing that remains from you completing the fulfillment of my needs. I have a need. إِنَّمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ حَاجَتِي يَسِيرَةٌ. I only have a small need, the need that I have. It remains the small one. From my needs, it remains something small to be fulfilled, to for my entire needs to complete. وَأَخَافُ أَنْسَاهَ, but that small one that I need to complete the fulfillment of my needs, أَخَافُ أَنْسَاهَا, I fear that I may forget to ask you. Maybe before we end the salah, I may not remember to ask you for that need. فَقَامَ مَعَهُ حَتَّى فَرَغَ مِنْ حَاجَتِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with that companion. قَامَ مَعَهُ, he stood with him while the rest of the companions were waiting for him to commence the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood with that man حَتَّى فَرَغَ مِنْ حَاجَتِهِ, until he was able to completely fulfill the needs of that man. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ فَصَلَّى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to his place and commenced the salah. All of these go to show the sakhawatun nafs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great-mindedness of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the free-heartedness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his benevolence, his compassion, his mercy over the people. I don't know anyone amongst us today who someone will do the like of what we have heard today, do to him, and our response will not be negative. Many of us, our responses will be negative. Many of us. It means also that when we try to fulfill the needs of our brothers, sometimes indecency can come to us that we should overlook. If you try to fulfill the needs of your brother, sometimes something indecent will reach you, something unsatisfactory will come to you, some statements of insults may come or actions of insults, you manage them. You keep them to yourself. You do not make those ones prevent you from doing what is right and helping your brother or your sister in that circumstance. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam did not mind the fact that he was grabbed by a person seeking help. Many of us, that will be the very reason why we will not provide that help and need again. Many of us. The reason why he grabbed the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will be the reason why we will not provide the need. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The next hadith after that is hadith 279, which also goes to show the sakhawatu nafs of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the free-mindedness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from his shaykh. He said, حَدَّثَنَا قَبِيصَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا صُفِيَان عَنِ ابْنِ الْمُنْكَدِرِ عَنْ جَابِرٍ قَالَ مَا سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا فَقَالَ لَا مَا سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا فَقَالَ لَا قَبِيصَ Abu Amir al-Kufi is the Shaykh of al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He is Qabisa ibn Uqbah. Qabisa, the Shaykh of al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He is Qabisa ibn Uqbah, Abu Amir al-Kufi. Abu Amir, this Shaykh of Bukhari, he bears your kunya. He is Abu Amir Al-Kufi rahimahullah. He is reporting from his Shaykh Al-Imam Sufyan Al-Thawri rahimahullah. And Sufyan Al-Thawri is reporting from another Imam from amongst the Tabi'un. His name is Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir was a well-known Tabi'i from amongst the scholars, amongst the Tabi'un. He was from amongst those who reported the very, very lengthy hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah regarding the description, Sifatu Hajjati Nabi, the description of the Hajj of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. That hadith covers about 3 to 4 full pages in the books of hadith. It was reported from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari by Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, rahimahullah. And Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari is the one who makes this statement. He said, radiyallahu anhuma, ma su'ila an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shay'an. Ma su'ila an-nabiy alayhi salatu wa salam shay'a. The messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma su'ila shay'a. He was never asked regarding anything. The ulama say, min mata'id dunya. From the things of this dunya, O Messenger, give me money. O Messenger, help me with food. O Messenger, help me with clothes. O Messenger, give me a riding animal. O Messenger, give me whatever he was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam. Faqala la. And then he says, no, I will not give you. Of course, that was if he had. As Anas told us, radiyallahu anhu, if he did not have wa'adahu, he will promise. And as we had read in a previous hadith, sometimes if he did not have, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he helps that needing person, the asking person. He helps him to ask from another person who would have. We had read a hadith where a companion came, radiallahu anhu, and asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, istahmilni ya Rasulallah, provide me a means of ride. And the Prophet did not have. So he said to him, go to so-so-so-so and ask him. So he helped him regarding who would provide him that means. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the one, addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ihi, the one who guides towards goodness, he has the reward, he shares the reward, like the reward of the person who actually did it. So sometimes if he did not have, alayhi salatu wasalam, he will make a promise. And sometimes, if he still did not have alayhi salatu salam, he will lead you to someone who can help you. But if he had sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Anas said, wa anjaza lahu in kana indahu, if the person had, that is from Hadith 278, if the person who came to ask the Messenger alayhi salatu salam asked at a time when the Prophet asked, when the Prophet had what he was asking for, anjaza lahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam provided him that need. If you ask when he had, he gave you. If he was expecting something, he promised you. If he did not have, he consulted someone who can provide you. All of these will come under the statement of Jabir ibn Abdullah. Ma su'ila an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shay'an fa qala la. All of those three things will come under this, that he will not be asked about something alayhi salatu wa salam. And then the answer that the person in need will get is no. That will not come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik reported a hadith, and I think this hadith is very important. We should read it to us. That occurs in Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim. He said, Anna rajulan sa'ala an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama ganaman bayna al-jabalayn. Alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shay'an faqala la. The messenger will not be asked about something. Oh messenger, give me this. And then he says, no. He won't say that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he is free-minded. He is generous. He is compassionate. He is merciful. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. He is noble-minded. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you ask him for something, he won't say no. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. In this hadith in Sahih Muslim, Anas said, سأل النبي صلى الله أن رجلا, that a man سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم غنما بين جبلين. Anas said, رضي الله عنه, a man came and requested from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم some goats that were in between two rocks, that is, they were in a mountain pass. They were in a valley, so to speak. In a valley, we had a number of heads of goats. فَسَأَلَ الرَّجُلُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The man came and asked for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Messenger of Allah, give me these goats. Jabir said, مَا سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا. The messenger was never asked for anything, and he said no. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the man came and he asked for a number of goats that were in between two mountains, that is, that were in a valley being taken care of for the messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. He says, فَأَعْطَاهُ إِيَّاهُ. The Prophet gave him those goats. فَأَتَى قَوْمَهُ فَقَالَ. The man was, so to speak, flabbergasted, as we used to say. He was astonished positively and amazed. I just asked him, a head of goats in between two rocks, in between two mountains, in a valley. Give me. And he gave him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This man ran to his community. And said to them, Aikum, oh my people, aslimu, accept Islam, for wallahi, I swear by Allah, inna Muhammadan la yu'ti ata'an ma yakhafu al-faqra. You see this Muhammad, he gives so much that he does not fear poverty. And I have heard somebody being described like this. I have heard someone who was described like this. He spends as if he's not afraid of poverty. I have heard two people have mentioned him to be like this. That was how the Prophet was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet gave, he gave, and you will say, this man doesn't fear poverty. This is an expression that is common amongst rich people. When they find one of them being so benevolent, say this one gives as if there is no tomorrow. That is as if he will not have a need for money tomorrow. It's just like saying that this one gives as if he's not afraid of poverty. But this particular expression, I've heard two people saying it regarding somebody, that this one, you can't match him in spending. He gives, he has a let go mind. He has a mind, let it go. Let the sadaqah flow from your hands to the rest of the people in need of it. That was how the Prophet was, alayhi salatu wassalam. The man ran to his people and said, oh my people, aslimu. So that benevolence of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, he did not have any message in the mind of that man except that we should accept Islam. Let us go into Islam. This Messenger of Islam is a very benevolent and compassionate person. Aslimu, accept Islam. Oh Allah, I swear by Allah, inna Muhammadan la yu'ti ata'an. You see this Muhammad, he will give a gift such that ma yakhafu al-faqra. He gives gifts as the giving of a person who is not afraid of poverty. That was the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. While commenting on this, the one who reported this to us, Anas ibn Malik, who had lived with the Prophet for 10 years, he said, radiyallahu anhu, faqala Anas. Anas then said, in kana ar-rajulu la yuslim ma yuridu illa ad-dunya. It used to happen that a man would accept Islam during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. La yuslimu illa ad-dunya, yani ma yuridu illa ad-dunya. When he accepted Islam, what attracted him to Islam is that benevolence of the Muslims. He wanted to enjoy goodness from them. And when we were younger than this, we saw a lot of people coming into Islam like this. We grew up in the south of this country, and there were a lot of Muslims from the north at the time. A lot of Muslims from the north. And that's why we Muslims, when we stick to the dictates of our religion, the people will come and accept the religion. Muslims from the north at that time in the south, and I'm sure they will still be like that today, they were very benevolent to these people. They spent, they gave out money. A lot of people will. Till today, most Igbos believe that if a person from amongst them, from amongst the Igbos, accept Islam, he has accepted Islam because of the money that Hausa people will give to him. They used to blame the people, oh, you want to become Muslim because Hausa people will give you money. It was a common statement. Why? Because it was well known amongst them that if anyone accepted Islam, he will face the beneficence of the Muslims. The Muslims were very, very compassionate people. They gave out easily. And this was very common amongst the northern Muslims. It was very common, even though it became a means of trial for some of them, because when they began to show this open-handedness to some of the women, they became attracted to them. Some of them married them rightfully, and some of them, you know, fell into the fitna of women and became lustful regarding that. But the point is that benevolence attracts the people to Islam. It has attracted a lot of people in the south. Go to Bayelsa, go to River State, and in other parts of the country. It used to be like that. It used to be like that. I don't know what exactly is the condition now. But when we were born there, we grew up there, we saw this, we lived with it. We were not told about it. Just like Anas is saying, radiallahu anhu. Anas said, radiallahu anhu, in kana ar-rajulu la yuslimu ma yuridu illa ad-dunya. In the time of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, some of the people accepted Islam, like that man who went to his community. The bulk of those people who will accept Islam in that community will be accepting Islam because they have an impression that if they accept Islam, Muhammad will give them gifts. That was why he was praising him. This is Muhammad. He will give you gifts like a person who is not afraid of poverty. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Now listen to what Anna said to end that statement. It says, "Fama yuslimu hatta yakuna islamuhu ahabba ilayhi min ad-dunya wa ma alayha." The man who comes to accept Islam, desirous of the things of benefits of this dunya that he will get from the Muslims. But once he accepted Islam, he will understand Islam. فَيَكُونُ الْإِسْلَامُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا عَلَيْهَا. And then by his accepting Islam, the deen, Islam, will become beloved to him than the entirety of this dunya. What attracted him was material gains. But when he comes into Islam, he now loves that Islam, having understood it. He prefers it now to the entirety of what he has. In some reports, Anas said, to the extent that he now goes to bring everything that he has to give for the sake of Allah. He had come to collect. He came, he collected. He understood Islam. He now brought all that he had into Islam. So this is the kind of job that the benevolence can bring. It brings a lot of benefit to the one to whom we show benevolence. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was that. The point of reference comes back to the hadith of Jabir, that ما سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شيئا فقال لا. The messenger was not asked about anything from the things of this dunya, and then he said, no, I will not give you. Messenger, give me this cloth, give it to you. Messenger, give me this cap, he gave it to you. Messenger, give me money, he gave it to him. If he had, if he did not have, he made a promise, don't worry, tomorrow inshallah, next tomorrow inshallah. And I know a man like this too. He might not have taken a breakfast, but the community considers him very rich. But he might not have taken a breakfast, but we know, because I have a sister married to that house. They may not have had breakfast, yet people will bring their needs to him. He had not had breakfast. And these are people seeking to make him fulfill their needs. So he will say to this one, don't worry, inshallah, tomorrow. You next tomorrow, inshallah. This one following the inshallah. So afterwards, he now can send his children to go and loan some money with which he will find food to eat. But the expectations of the people with him were very high, because they considered him very rich. It was from the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu. If you ask him for something, if he did not have, he made a promise. If he had, he gave you immediately. If he did not have again, he can consult a person who can provide this for you. In all of that, the messenger will not turn you back empty. Go back. No, I don't have. And that was why in this hadith of Anas we just read to us from Sahih Muslim, the man asked for a head of animal in a valley. The Prophet said, take it. The man went back to start saying to his people that they should accept Islam. Because Muhammad is a man who spends money as if there is no, he is not afraid of poverty. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That goes to explain the sakhawatun nafs, the generosity, the free-mindedness, the free-heartedness of our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I think that will suffice on hadith 279. We can go on to hadith 280, wherein al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Farwatu ibn Abi al-Maghra, qala haddathana Ali ibn Mushir, an Hisham ibn Urwa, qala akhbarani al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, an Abdullah ibn Zubayr, qala, ma ra'aytu imra'atayn ajwada min Aishata wa Asma'a, ma ra'aytu imra'atayn أجود من عائشة وأسماع وجودهما مختلف أما عائشة فكانت تجمع الشيء إلى الشيء حتى إذا كان اجتمع عندها قسمت وأما أسماع فكانت لا تمسك شيئا لغد. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا فروة ابن أبي المغرى. Farwa ibn Abi al-Maghra, he is Abu al-Qasim al-Kufi rahimahullah. Farwa ibn Abi al-Maghra, the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith, He is Abu al-Qasim al-Kufi. He is reporting from Qadi Kufa, Ali ibn Mushir. In his time, Ali ibn Mushir, Abu al-Hasan al-Kufi, was a Qadi, was a judge for a long time in Kufa in his time. He was from amongst the people of knowledge in Kufa, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from his Shaykh Urwa, Hisham ibn Urwa, rahimahullah. Hisham ibn Urwa is the son of Urwa ibn Zubayr. So he is Hisham ibn Urwa ibn Zubayr, rahimahullah. And that Zubayr was Zubayr ibn Awam, radiyallahu anhu. He said, Akhbarani al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad is Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. We remember that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in the lengthy hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, was going to perform the Hajj, he stayed at Dhul Hulayfa. And Asma'u bint Umays, one of the wives of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anha. We remember that Asma'u herself, bint Umays, radiallahu anha, was the wife of Ja'far. Ja'far, the elder brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. It was when Ja'far passed away during a battle that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq got married to Asma'u bint Umays. And the first child that Asma'u bint Umays, radiallahu anha, gave birth to for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, she did so on their road to Hajj. They'd left Medina, she was heavily pregnant. That is evidence that a pregnant woman can perform Hajj. And at that time, they were going to go on a beast of burden. The best that Asma bint Umays would have was to ride either on a donkey or a camel. Yet she was heavily pregnant, she still left Medina going to perform Hajj. Because no one would want to envisage living, being in Medina when the Prophet was going to perform Hajj, alayhi salatu salam. So she went out with them, radiallahu anha, Asma'u bint Umays. When they got to Dhul Hulayfa, she delivered Muhammad, the father of Al-Qasim, that we are reading his hadith. This Al-Qasim, he is Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. When they got to Dhul Hulayfa, Asma'u bint Umays gave birth to Muhammad. So that Muhammad is the son of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq from Asma'u bint Umays, who was giving birth to Dhul Hulayfa when the Prophet alayhi salatu salam stopped over at Dhul Hulayfa to take up Ihram when he was going to perform the only Hajj that he made, Hajjatul Wada. That was where Muhammad was born. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, he had a son called Al-Qasim. So he is Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. And his kunya was Abu Muhammad Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. His kunya was also what? Abu Muhammad. And he is reporting this hadith from Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr was the son of Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. So you can look at the connection. Al-Qasim and Abdullah ibn Zubayr, how are they connected? Abdullah ibn Zubayr was the son of Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. And Al-Qasim is the grandchild of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. So you can see Al-Qasim is the grandchild of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Abdullah ibn Zubayr is also the grandchild of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had Asma bint Abi Bakr, the elder sister of Aisha. Asma who gave birth to Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abu Bakr gave birth to Muhammad from Asma'u bint Umays, and Muhammad gave birth to what? Al-Qasim. So both Al-Qasim and Abdullah ibn Zubayr are from the grandchildren of who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Al-Qasim is from a male child, and Abdullah ibn Zubayr was from the female child. Al-Qasim is from the male child, Muhammad. Abdullah ibn Zubayr was from the female child, Asma. So they are both from the grandchildren of Abu Bakr. So one grandchild, Al-Qasim of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, is reporting from another grandchild of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, regarding his mother and his aunt. His mother was Asma. Asma is the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. And Aisha is the sister of Asma. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr is telling a fellow grandchild, his grand cousin, his cousin, about his own mother, Asma, and Aisha, his own aunt. Fortunately, Abdullah ibn Zubayr lived in the home of Aisha. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad also lived in the house of Aisha, radiallahu anhum. You can see they both lived in the house of Aisha. But Abdullah ibn Zubayr was older. Abdullah ibn Zubayr was born in the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam during Hijrah. But Al-Qasim was born during the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Al-Qasim was born during the Khilafah of Ali. Abdullah ibn Zubayr had been born about 25 years far older than Al-Qasim. So that was why Abdullah ibn Zubayr is telling him he is more experienced about his mother, Asma, and who? His aunt, Aisha. So he's telling Al-Qasim about them, even though Qasim also lived under Aisha radiallahu anha. Abdullah ibn Zubayr said to Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, Ma ra'aytu imra'atayn ajwada min Aisha wa Asma. Ma ra'aytu imra'atayn. I have not seen any two women ajwada min Aisha wa Asma. I have not seen two women, ajwada min Aisha wa Asma, who were more open-handed, who were more generous than Asma, my mother, and who? And Aisha, radiallahu anha, her sister and my aunt. I've never seen women like that in terms of generosity. The ulama say this is evidence that we learn piety from pious people. We learn acts of righteousness from righteous people. Now, Ibn Zubayr wanted to teach Al-Qasim righteousness. So he's fighting from righteous people, from Aisha, and from who? Asma. Teaching him the lessons of generosity from who? From his own mother and from his aunt. So he would cite, I've never seen a man like this. I've never seen a man like that. So he's teaching Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, the lessons of generosity, citing it from the life of these two great women, radiallahu anhuma. So he said, Ma ra'aytu imra'atayn ajwada min Aishata wa Asma. I have never seen two women who are more generous than who? Aisha. And who? Asma'u, radiallahu anhum. He went on to explain, wajuduhuma mukhtalif, and the way, the manner of their generosity is different. Jud is being generous, being open-handed. Wajuduhuma, and the two of them, their jud, their generosity, their benevolence, their open-handedness, mukhtalif, they occur in two different ways. So let's know how each of them used to be generous. Amma Aisha. As for my aunt Aisha and my teacher Aisha, radiallahu anha, فَكَانَتْ تَجْمَعُ الشَّيْءَ إِلَى الشَّيْءِ. She would gather one thing to the other. She would put things together. حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَ اجْتَمَعَ إِنْدَهَا قَسَمَتْ. She would gather it. One date, two baskets, five baskets. She'll be putting it together. The ulama said perhaps at the time she was going to hand it out in charity, there were a lot of people who would be looking forward to it from her. So she would not like to give one today, and the other one is expecting. Give this one tomorrow, the other one starts expecting. So she puts it together so that she gives it to everybody and everybody benefits at once and at the same time. The ulama explained that perhaps this was the reason why Aisha radiallahu anha was doing that. كَانَتْ تَجْمَعُ الشَّيْءَ إِلَى الشَّيْءِ. She'll be gathering things. One goggle, one hijab, one niqab, one jilbab, one shoe, one, she'll be gathering it, putting it together. So on one day, when these things have gathered, customers, she goes on to, you take this one, you take this, you take that. So all the women and the people who will benefit from her will say, oh, jazakumullah khairan, at the same time. She gathered it together and gave them. Why? So that if she gives this one today, the other one tomorrow, the rest are not left becoming expectant. And it may become that she herself doesn't go to find what to give. So she puts it together and give all those who expect from her at once and at the same time. Radiallahu anha. Wa amma Asma. As for Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, فَكَانَتْ لَا تُمْسِكْ شَيْئًا لِغَدْ radiallahu anha. As for Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, لَا تُمْسِكْ شَيْئًا لِغَدْ. She will not keep it anything. لَا تُمْسِكْ شَيْئًا. She will not keep anything till tomorrow. If she got a single date today for Sadaqah, she gave it today. If she found a jilbab for Sadaqah, she gave it today. If she has a shoe for Sadaqah, she gave it today. If she has a piece of meat for Sadaqah, today she gave it out. فَكَانَتْ لَا تُمْسِكْ شَيْئًا لِغَدْ. Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she will never keep anything till tomorrow. So that there are also wisdom, that there are wisdom behind this. Perhaps so that, yes, she gives it in Sadaqah, and the reward of Sadaqah immediately begins to be documented for her. She'll give it immediately, so that quickly the records become, you know, made for her that she has done that good deed and she has made a Sadaqah. Perhaps also because the one who wants to receive it will not be waiting. Something came in yesterday, we are still waiting. And Asma had a thing, radiallahu anha. She had a command from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to keep anything. She did not choose to keep something and be counting. The ulama said, because if you are not careful, stinginess can come. You had 10 naira yesterday to give. You did not give. You had 100 naira, it became 110. And then you had 1,000, it became 1,110. You had 10,000, it became 10,000, 11,110. You start thinking that this 11,000 is big money. Can I invest it in a business? So greed gradually comes in when you gather the money. And this was something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told Asma she should not do. One day, Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Messenger of Allah, I do not have any means to wealth except from my husband. Women, notice this. Zubair ibn Awam was the husband of Asma. Asma was asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not have any means to wealth except what my husband gives me. So how do I give? How do I give out in Sadaqah? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anfiqi wa la tuhsi. Spend, don't gather it, keep in it. Once you have it, spend it. Once you have, spend. So anfiqi, spend ya Asma, spend o Asma. Wa la tuhsi, don't keep it, start counting it. Fa yuhsi Allahu alayk. And then if you keep it, start counting it, okay. By the time you get the rewards too, it may be counted unto you. And the best is for the individual to seek words from Allah, the ghayr hisab. Now, if you keep it, you start gathering it, you start counting it. I want it to become 10,000 first. Don't be surprised. All that you want to give is 10,000. Perhaps that is the like of what you will get. You will also be getting favors from Allah that will be just within limits. But when you give profusely, not looking at it, you didn't even know how much you have given. This is what the Messenger alayhi salatu salam encouraged Asma to do. And she kept to it. She kept it. Anas ibn Malik also reported that the Prophet was like that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Kana Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La yaddakhiru shay'an lighad. He will not keep something till tomorrow. Oh, let me keep this one. I'll give it out tomorrow. No, he gave it out today. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So give the sadaqah. Be open-handed. Be free-handed. Be open-hearted. Be noble-minded. and recognize the fact that as openly as you give, as profusely as you give, that is how you will get. Because in that statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, it showed also that in these matters of sadaqah that al-jaza'u min jinsil amal, he said to her alayhi salatu wasalam, la tuhsi, do not keep it counting it, fa yuhsi Allahu alayk, and then that makes Allah also only count and give to you. So don't give counting, give without counting. Give it and forget it also, because you must not also follow it with al-mannu and al-adha. It says, ya ayyuha allatheena amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bimadha bil-manni wal-adha. O you who believe, do not destroy what you give with al-mannu. Al-mannu is reminding that person, did I not give you yesterday? Did I not do this yesterday? That's al-mannu, to remind him. Al-adha is insulting him over gifts that you gave it to him. You are a very wasteful person. You are very... And then those grammars that we speak. La tumtilu sadaqatikum. Yani la tumtilu sawaba sadaqatikum. Don't destroy the rewards for your sadaqat bil man, by reminding those that you have provided benefit to. Wal-adha. Or insulting them because you had provided them benefit. Don't do it so that you don't destroy the rewards for your good deeds. Likewise, don't hold back. Don't count what you have given. Give profusely. Give open-handedly. Give noble-mindedly. Because that was how your messenger was, alayhi salatu wasalam. So all of these go to explain the sakhawa to nafs of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, was a very, very humble person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he gave alayhi salatu wasalam freely, so much that one of the Arabs was saying that this is Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He will give gifts. Inna Muhammadan la yu'ti ata'an. Muhammad will give gifts in such a manner that ma yakhafu al-faqra. He does not fear poverty. He does not fear poverty. Oh, la yu'ti ata'a ma yakhafu al-faqra. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will give gifts in the way of giving gifts such that poverty is not feared. And like Allah told us in the Quran, it is shaitan that threatens the people with poverty. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqra. Shaitan threatens you. If you give, you become poor. If you give, you become, your wealth will go. And then he begins to threaten and make the people tend towards stinginess. That's why the chapter that follows this chapter in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is Bab al-Shuhi, the chapter about stinginess. What has the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us about stinginess and stingy people? But here today, the discussion is about sakhawatun nafs, benevolence, generosity, open-handedness. And this is what we have seen. The women amongst the companions, radiallahu anhum, from amongst the most open-handed amongst them, were who? Asma'u bintu Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. And who? Aisha tu radiallahu anha. As for Aisha radiallahu anha, she will gather what she will give. She will gather it, put it together. When they are much, she takes that much and gives out everything. As for Asma radiallahu anha bint Siddiq, she gives one after the other. Every day she gave. Whatever she had today, that's what she gives today. Whatever she has for giving tomorrow, that was what she gave out tomorrow. And there is a major point of benefit here, ikhwa. What Abdullah ibn Zubayr described regarding Aisha and Asma is evidence that they deliberately paid attention to giving. They were not giving accidentally, oh, it's Ramadan, let me give in Ramadan. No, it was a way of life with them. It's one of the things that we must teach our children, the art of giving, the art of providing for the people, the art of helping the people meet their needs. It should be something that we should teach the children in the way our world is evolving to become the nuclear world, the world where no one knows anyone except himself, just myself, just myself. We should teach the children to be compassionate people, people who felt the hardship of others, people who will be compassionate, benevolent, generous with the rest of the people, not those who the entirety of their concerns is about acquisition, acquire. I bought. And that insatiable desire for wealth, this is something that is reprehensible in the Sharia. It has been so bad with some of the people that, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yubalun min ayna akhazu. They would not care from where they make their earnings. I mean, halalin am min haram. Is it from halal or haram? They don't want to care. Why? The desire to acquire is all that they recognize. This contradicts the compassion and the mercy and open-handedness that Islam has taught us. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today to take a few questions we may be able to take. But let us not forget, inshallah, tomorrow the discussions will be about what? Ash-shuhu, avarice, being greedy. The person is greedy, he never gives. If he gave, his mind was on it, as if to take it back. Some of the people are so greedy. They will give something. And they still followed what they gave with their mind. May Allah protect us from this illness and guide us all aright. Bismillah, we can come back to these issues in the class tomorrow, inshallah. Abu Amir, the Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, whose kunya is Abu Amir, he is Qabisa ibn Uqba. Abu Amir, are you Qabisa?
Allah. As-salamu alaykum. No, as-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salamu, Abu Amir, are you Qabisa?
No. No, sir.
Abu Amir al-Kufi. You are Al-Ajusi, you stay in Lagos.
No.
Can we go with the questions?
Yes, as-salamu alaykum.
I mean, well,
now,
yeah.
This question here is, please, my wife is breastfeeding and she can't fast. How will I do the fidya? Please, for Allah's sake, please respond to it. Ramadan is half today.
Make the fidya by cooking the food. Make the fidya by cooking the food and looking for poor fasting people. Don't feed your friends unless they are poor, because fidya is ta'amu miskin. Allah says, fafidiyatun ta'amu miskin. Fidya is for the poor. So look for the poor. Some people feed their friends and say they have done fidya. And that's why those who also say, oh, we will do fidya on your behalf. Some of them don't care who they feed. They will feed, they just go to a mosque and feed people. Some of those they are feeding are very rich, richer than the person who gave money for the fidya. Fidya is the wife should cook the food herself. Cook the food in your house. That will make you feel a sense of fasting itself. I am cooking this food to give it to those who are fasting. That mindset should be in you. And this is the basic rule. The basic rule is that you do it yourself. Anas ibn Malik became very old and unable to fast. He did it himself in his house. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu became like that. He did it himself in his house. The basic rule is that it is the person who has the fidya to do, that does the fidya. As long as you can cook the food in your house, cook it in your house and give food to those people you want to give. Don't give them money, give them food, ta'am, miskin. Provide that food to the poor. This is the basic rule. So this is the reason why those who encourage you, give us money, let me do fidya for you, give us money, be careful, tell them. Tell them, let them know. And if you want to help me do fidya, it is not a trade. I think those who do this thing should understand, it is not zakah. It is zakah that has al-amiluna alayha in it. If you are distributing zakah, those who are distributing zakah, they are from amongst the 8 persons that can receive zakah.
those working to collect and distribute zakah can benefit from zakah. But if you are collecting money from fidya, you need a proof to tell us that you can be benefiting from that fidya. If it is fidya, some of the people collect the money and then they begin to eat from it. They begin to take from it. They begin to spend from the money. No, they make it like a trade. No, what you told the person is that give me the money, I will help you do it. You didn't tell him that you are a businessman. You only said you want to render help. So if I give you 2,000 naira for fidya on a single day, be sure to deliver food of 2,000 naira. You chose to help me do it. So don't steal from my money or take from it without my permission or upon an agreement with me. You can come upon an agreement with me. Hey, look, you can't do it. Like, it is 2,000 naira for a single plate, but I will receive 200 naira over it because I'm going to work, I'm going to cook, I'm going to do this. You can do that. Let that man know from the beginning that you are doing it upon a business. You are collecting it. It's a work you are doing. Let it be clear. Don't tell them, give me money for your fidya, and then you end up spending the money, taking from it. No. Secondly, is that the fidya should be food. It should get to the poor if it is fidya. Otherwise, the basic rule, all of these, give me money for fidya, let me do fidya for you. When did it start? It's a recent thing. Almost every woman now became making flyers and say, give me money, let me do fidya. Let us be careful about this. It is not the basic rule. The basic rule is that the woman herself, the individual himself, they should make the food in their house and provide that food to the poor. There's a spiritual implication. When you cook that food, you'll be feeling the sense of fasting. When you are handing it over to the person that is fasting, you are feeling the sense of having discharged a duty that you owe the poor person while fasting. You have made all of this to go inside contract, inside give, let me just give it money as if you are throwing away the money. It's an act of worship. It's like a person who just goes to collect a ticket for Eid al-Adha instead of making the Udhiyya himself. And there's a lot of spirituality in you slaughtering your animal on the day of Eid by yourself. So don't make it all become like a proxy business. Everything about our deen now, we are making it to become a business. So if you want to help people, help them. That is from helping a person in their need. You get a lot of rewards. You are helping those who want to make the fidya, who perhaps because of the location they find themselves, they are not able to make the fidya in such locations. You help them fulfill their religious obligation. You also help that poor person get food to eat. So you have sufficient rewards with Allah. But now if you commercialize it, you are just doing business. You are making business. It's business for you. It's business for you. If you make it, the entire intention is that I'm going to make money from it. But let it be clear to those persons giving you money that you are upon a business transaction with them. And this is not usually said in the flyers. So if a person wants to make fidya, the person, the basic rule is you cook the food, make the food inside your household. And you take the food, or your husband takes the food, or your son takes the food to those who need the food. This is the basic rule regarding this issue. Allahu alam.
No, jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullahu khair.
This next one reads, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. May Allah continue to preserve you upon goodness. My question is, is the four rakats with one taslim, another four rakats with one taslim, and then three rakats with a
yes.
Is it correct?
Yes. It's correct upon Sunnah. 4-4-3 is correct upon the Sunnah. 4-4-3 is correct upon the Sunnah, inshallah. For Taraweeh.
And then the concluding part is, and else, what are the other methods permissible according to the Sunnah? Is that more?
You can make 2-2-2-2, and that is the best. You make 2-2-2-2-2. When you make 5 2s, making 10 rak'ats, then you make 1 witr. You can make 4 4-3, as you have explained. You can make 8 on the stretch and then 3. You can make 4 and then 5. And so on. There are about 6 or 7 methods that have been mentioned in the Sunnah, but the best of all of them is 2-2-2-2-2-2-2. Allahu a'lam.
Ameen wa iyyak. This next one reads, Assalamu alaikum. Is it true that we cannot sell edibles to non-Muslims in Ramadan? Reason is that Allah commanded us to all fast in the month of Ramadan, so we shouldn't aid them in disobedience to Allah.
Well, they are not people from the people of Islam. These non-Muslims are not from the people of Islam. It's like saying that a Christian who has a wife should not cohabit with his wife in the afternoon of Ramadan. That is valid for them if they are upon Iman. But they are not upon Iman. So there is little we can do about compelling them to do that. Likewise, eating food. If we sell food to non-Muslims in the afternoon of Ramadan, they are not compelled, except upon Iman, to fast. And that's why when the instruction to fast came, it started with what? Ya ayyuha allazina amanu. So, but these people are not from the people of Iman. So if they eat food in the afternoon of Ramadan, it's because of their millah, their path that they are upon. So but as for the Muslim who sells food, he may sell the food perhaps for old Muslims too, elderly Muslims who are not fasting. He may sell the food to menstruating Muslim women who are not fasting. He may sell food to women who are breastfeeding or women who are in postnatal bleeding. All of these people may not fast. So if you give a blanket rule that it is not lawful for a Muslim to sell food in the afternoon of Ramadan, you may not only be bringing a lot of inconvenience to non-Muslims, you will be also bringing a lot of inconvenience to Muslims themselves, and that is not good enough. So it's by the choice of the person. If you choose to sell, it remains to be proven that it is not lawful. It remains to be proven that it is not lawful. And at the same time, if you choose not to sell, you have a right to determine when you sell your property, when you sell your product. Allahu Alam.
Ameen
wa antum.
Next one reads then. Please, what is the condition of someone who gives, but he is not comfortable after giving, but he is striving to be generous as the Prophet, alayhi salatu
wasalam?
And also, how do we strike the balance between being lavish in spending and never saying no when asked? Not lavish as in spending extravagantly, but not being careful and economical.
Let me start from the second question. Not saying no does not mean being extravagant. Being extravagant is a major sin. Allah prohibited it in the Quran. He says, "Wala taj'al yadaka maghlulatan ila 'unukika wala tabsutha kull al-bast." So we have been prohibited from making al-bast, kull al-bast, being extravagant. So this is not extravagance. Extravagance is, for example, someone only needs ₦10, and you give him ₦1,000. It may fall under extravagance. It may fall under extravagance. And perhaps you don't have more than ₦1,100. So you give him ₦1,000, you have ₦100 with you. And the entirety of his needs are ₦100. So this may come under extravagance. This may come under extravagance. And perhaps there are even others who also need the money. You prevent those ones. You prevent yourself and you give him beyond what is his need, far beyond. So we must be moderate in this. We must look at the needs of the people and provide them as much as we are able to provide, looking at others also that we may be in the position to have to make provisions for. So not saying no, not ever saying no, does not in any way interpret extravagance. They are two different parts. Not saying no is that each time people come to you, you have something to give. Not that each time people come to you, you give lavishly. No. Each time people come to you, you can give something. You can offer something. Even when they do not come to you, you can just look at this person needs so and so. You provide it to him. This person will need so. You provide it to him. Because there are some of the people, like Allah said in the Quran, La yas'aluna an-nasa ilhafa. Out of shyness, they will not ask you. And they need. They are in need. They are in serious need, but they will never ask. I know a lot of brothers. They will never ask you. They will never ask you because of the insult and demean that comes with asking. They will never ask you. And you see them going about needs. We are in Agbada, we are in Kab. They are in need. They are in need, but they will never ask you. So look at that and provide them. It is from the best ways to make sadaqa. Looking for those who will have a need, who may not be able to ask. So all of these people, you don't say no. You don't say no to them. Provide just as you have, and as you can imagine that they need. This one needs so. Take this. You have this. Take this. But to abruptly say no, the messenger did not used to say no. The first part of the question is, how do I learn to beat shuhu, greed, by giving regularly? Because shuhu, greed, is from the ills of the mind. Just like sakhawatun nafs, open-handedness, is from the soundness of that mind. It's because the mind is healthy. So, and the way to go about making the mind that is not healthy to become healthy is to keep to healthy lifestyle. In this case, the healthy lifestyle is the lifestyle of what? Giving and giving and giving. When you become used to giving, your mind will not continue to follow what you are giving again, because now it will gradually become a part and a parcel of you. So just continue to give until Allah makes giving people easy for you. We have always mentioned that traits, character can be learned. And one of the ways to learn it is always doing it. Another way to learn it is about reading about people who give. Read about Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Read about Uthman ibn Affan. Read about Abdurrahman ibn Auf. These were billionaires in their time. They were billionaires. Uthman ibn Affan was a billionaire at that time. Radiallahu anhu. Yet they gave all they had. They spent and spent and spent in the path of Allah. And they got Al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhum. So the way to learn giving from that is reading about those who give. If you read about those who give, then bismillah, you like to be like those that you read about. Another way to learn giving is making dua. Making dua. Oh Allah, make me a person who likes to give. Oh Allah, make me a person who likes to give. Oh Allah, provide me what I can give. Oh Allah, provide me what. Because sometimes you may like to give and you don't have what to give. Allah mentioned some people like that in Surah At-Tawbah. You may want to give, but you don't have what to give. So beg Allah in your dua, Allah provide for me to be able to give. Allah give me the sincerity also of giving. Don't forget, in all of these, ikhlas must be a major, doing it for the sake of Allah must be a major means to consider. Like those who Allah mentioned to us in Surah to Al-Insan, that they will say when they feed the people, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they will say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We give you for the sake of Allah. نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We give you seeking the goodness in the face of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ. We do not hope even for you to say to us, shukran, oh jazakallah khairan. No, we are not expecting you. If you say it to us, we will give you a reply. But we are not expecting jaza'an. We are not expecting you to pay us back. Wala shukura. We are not even expecting you to say thank you. Some people have stopped giving people support, helping them, because they gave him one day, he didn't say thank you. Okay, you didn't say thank you. Tomorrow, come and collect, let me see. People do that. Were you giving him because he was saying thank you to you? If it's because he was saying thank you to you, then the ikhlas is still not complete enough. So make it complete. Don't expect a thank you. Saying thank you or not saying thank you is his own problem. Don't make his own problem to become a problem to you. It is his problem if he doesn't say thank you, if he doesn't say jazakallahu khairan and all of this. That is his own problem. So don't let his own problem become a problem to you. How does it become a problem to you? It leads you into greediness. It leads you into preventing him what ordinarily you should give to him and earn rewards. Don't be this kind of a Muslim. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Abu Amir.
Amin.
Can we call it a day today?
Yes, sir, but just before that, can the question is asking concerning the fidya. I know we've answered it before, but you're asking, is it only sahur or sahur and iftar?
You know, any of them. Any of them. Any one of them.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum.